Good evening to each of you. It is good to be back again after a night off. And, there was some sense last night. I felt like, as well as I understood, and I think the right decision was made, kind of felt like we lost our momentum a little bit. And so, by the Lord's grace, trust we can pick that up again. Jim was right. I do have cards here that have QR codes on them. This is all I have along tonight, but I have lots more at home. And this is the time of year I am to do PR work for IGO. And so I know I came here for meetings, but I usually will try and sneak whatever I can in about IGO. In fact, I was thinking about tomorrow, being I was given the opportunity to share two messages, one during science school and one during the regular time. I thought, I guess I could share about IGO the first half, but I definitely felt led to go differently. But so anyhow, I will just say this. We are involved with working with IGO. Our heart is there. And so if you want to know more about it, one QR code takes you to our website. The other one takes it to a 10-minute promotional video. And basically what we are is a mission training center on the foreign field with the desire to train young people and even married couples come to serve, Lord willing, in missions. It's good to see all of you, especially good to see Matt and Sharla. And I need to pick on him a little bit. See, I taught at SMBI for 6 weeks just this past January, and Matt came as a student, and his wife, I guess, came along for the ride. But anyhow, we were neighbors, we were next door neighbors. So if you're familiar with SMBI, and if you're not, it's okay. But there's a building out back, there's up on the second floor, so it's a set of steps that go up, and then to the right was our apartment, and Suzette and I stayed there, and to the left was Matt and their family, and so we were right beside each other. Now, I don't know what Matt heard from our side, from Suzette and I, if he heard too much, but I bet you'd love to know what we heard. And I would never tell. I'm just kidding. We didn't hear anything, so. Anyhow, we were blessed to learn to know them better, and Matt was in class, the one class that I taught, and just good to see your family. Good, again, for each of you here, shared the first night, had meetings in Myerstown, I think, twice, and I said I thought that was the only church I ever did twice, and then I got to thinking yesterday, it hit me, I was like, I was at Faith twice as well, so maybe I was at other churches twice as well. More than I remember, but anyhow, we were at Myerstown in fall of 98 and also in 2015. We cover your prayers. My wife has had a rough last couple days, and today wasn't the greatest. Her back is out of whack. It seems like it happens every so many years, and her back goes out of commission. And just happens to be one of those times. And so we covet your prayers. I thought I'd probably be coming by myself today. My wife does all kinds of exercises, and I see her in all kinds of positions right now. And I said too much. Anyhow, soon I'll have her in the same condition as you, Janessa. She was really feeling sorry for you the other night. Anyhow, we covet your prayers. And so, just as we get through the rest of this weekend. Thanks also for those of you who have left gifts for us in the van each evening. And that was a blessing. When we had meeting, or when I used to take meetings and our children were younger, that was always an exciting part for our children when they went out to the van after the service. But you know what? Kind of still an exciting part, even though we don't have children. The other night when Suzette's mom was along, I said, yeah, the children used to look forward to this. And she said, yeah, now the grandma can. I said, yeah, that's right. All right, enough preliminary things. Good to be together again. We left off the other night. Well, as Jim mentioned, we established the first night the truth that Jesus is God. And so that statement is our statement for, was our statement for our message Thursday night. And will be for tonight, and will be for tomorrow night. Lord willing, tomorrow morning, we're going to look at two separate topics yet. So we started out Thursday night, and Wednesday night, we established that Jesus is God. Thursday night, we said, since Jesus is God, he is worthy of all worship, and true worship is costly worship. John Piper made the statement, missions exist because worship does not. And I think that's an interesting concept. He said the aim of missions or the motive of missions should not be the need of man. And oftentimes we think about missions happening, we need to go tell others so they don't go to hell, or so they don't, you know, they need to be saved from their sin, which is true, which is right. But the motive of missions, the motive that survives the first year, the motive that continues on, is when we do missions for him. We are jealous for our God, for Jesus' God. And as we said, that one day there will be people from all tribes and all nations around that throne, because worship is about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so John Piper said it is the worship of Jesus that should motivate missions. Missions exist because worship does not. And as much as I do agree with that statement, and I think he's making a good point, I would clarify it one way and say missions exist because true worship does not. And I showed this picture the other night at a children's meeting. And the reason I say this is because I conclude that there is some type of worship going on in that picture, but it's not true worship. I had a friend that was a Buddhist monk, and him and I would have discussions sometimes, and oftentimes the monks would go into the temple and they would say their chants, and I one time alluded to the fact that they prayed to their image in the front, or they worship the image, and he said, no, we're not praying, you know, we're not worshiping, we're just reciting the teachings of Buddha. But I look at a picture like that, and I watch people burn incense and do a lot of other rituals, and you can't tell me that some type of worship does not exist. It's a false worship. And so missions exist because of that picture. Missions exist because Jesus is worthy of our worship. Well, tonight we're going to go to another phrase that begins with this statement. Since Jesus is God. And Matt, I'll warn you, I know you did. You had all this in class. So you should ace it. Since Jesus is God, he is good. Since Jesus is God, he is good, and therefore I can trust him. I invite you to take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 19. We're going to start reading at verse 16. Again, it's a familiar story. But I want you to keep this statement in mind. Since Jesus is God, we said, since Jesus is God, he is worthy of all worship. Since Jesus is God, he therefore is good, and therefore, because he is good, I can trust him. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he, Jesus, said unto him, why? And when we see the word why, it's basically asking, what is the reason? So we could be saying, Jesus is saying to this man, what is the reason that you called me good? So why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said unto him, which? And Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. And he asked the question, what lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, or if thou wilt be complete, Go, sell all that thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But, contrast, we see the word but, it's a contrast. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. I'd like us tonight just to analyze a little bit of this conversation as we begin here. So here we have a young ruler who comes to Jesus, and he addresses Jesus with the title, Good Master. Jesus replies with a question. He asks a why question. We said he's causing the guy to think about what was the reason, what was the behind the thought that you said, why did you call me good? You know, Jesus looked at him and said, why did you call me good? And in essence, he could have said, you know, why did you just call me master or teacher? Why did you dress me in some other way? Why did you choose the adjective specifically good? He could have just said master. He could have just said great teacher. He could have said honorable master. But instead, he chose the word good. And then Jesus makes a definitive statement and he says, but there is only one that is good, and that is God. And when you add the statement that Jesus made and the why question together, why callest thou me good? We see a deeper root question that I believe Jesus is asking this young man that we often miss. We notice this man called him good, and we notice what Jesus said back to him. But in essence, or what's underneath, is Jesus really saying to this man? And so if Jesus says to him, there's only one good, and that is God, the man is therefore saying what? He's really saying, and so I'll bring this up here, he's really saying, do you believe I'm God? If there's only one that's good, and that's God, and you call me good, do you really believe I'm God? And so if we look at this statement here, or we look at this question, why callest thou me good? Notice these two terms. We have Jesus and we have God. And we also have the two words good. And so the two underlying questions that I see in this account, the first one is Jesus really God? And so as Jesus looked at this man, and I believe underneath he was saying, do you really believe I'm God? Do you really believe I'm God? And if I'm God, then he is worthy of my obedience. If he's not God, then you don't need to obey him. If I'm not God, then you don't need to do what I say. But you call me good. Am I God? And the other question is, the second question that I see in this text is the question, is Jesus really good? Am I God, young man, and am I good? If I'm God, then I'm worthy of obedience. And if I'm good, then I'm trustworthy. And as I look at this man ponders, and then he says to himself, or maybe, you know, quietly under his breath, he says, no, I wouldn't go that far. No, I wouldn't go so far to acknowledge that you're God. Remember we said the first night that there was a contention in this era as to who really was this Jesus. And the issue was he really God? And we proved that the first night, or we showed that, demonstrated that the first night. But here we find another man faced with the same question. But the man says, no, I wouldn't go that far. I guess I did use the wrong word. I guess I shouldn't have called you good. Now you may say, now why do I say that? Why do I say that these were the thoughts of this man? Answer, because actions speak louder than words. And the response of this man, when Jesus said, go and sell all that thou hast and give to the poor, and then you come and follow me. To do that, you'd have to admit this man's God. Scripture says, verse 22 says, he went away sorrowful. He went away sorrowful. Whether he did wrestle with or think about whether Jesus was God or not, we don't know. But he didn't outright admit it. Because if you are going to admit that Jesus is God, then it is going to require you that you worship him as God. It's going to require of you that you come before him. And whatever he asks of you of your life, that you lay it before his feet in obedience to him. If Jesus is God, then he's worthy of your obedience. And this man said, well, I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't go that far. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And so the one question I believe that this man was posed with was the question, do you really believe I'm God? And we've kind of been looking at that question as we've been going this week, or as we've been having messages this week. But I would like for us tonight to think about the second question. And the question is Jesus really good? Now, we established the fact that Jesus is God. And Jesus said, there is only one good, one. Not two, not three, but one. One good, and that's God. And I'm asking you tonight, do you believe he's good? Did this man believe he's good? Because if we believe he's good, then to believe he's good has implications. To believe he's good calls and requires of us to trust him. To trust him with what he asks us to do. To trust him with the unknowns. To trust him with totally surrendering our life into his hands. If he's not good, if you reckon in your heart that Jesus is not good, then I'll say to you, then you don't need to trust him. Why would you trust him if he wasn't good? Why would this man sell out all he had and give to the poor and follow a man that wasn't good? But he is good. And he is trustworthy. And this man chose not to listen to that or to reckon that. I believe that believing God is good is for many people the reason why they reject God. Let me say that again. I believe the reckoning with the fact if God is good or not is the reason, because of the conclusions they come to, is the reason they reject God. How often have we heard the words, if God is good, then why do bad things happen to good people? Do you ever wrestle with that? Do you ever have someone close to you wrestle with that? If God is good, then why did this happen or why did that happen? And they come to the conclusion that I don't really need to trust him because I conclude he's not good. Very personally in our family, Suzette and I, we have a nephew. Suzette's sister next to her died of cancer somewhere around 35 or 36 or somewhere age bracket, and left behind four children. The oldest one, I think, was 15. The youngest one maybe was four. But that set them on a journey, and rightfully so. She had cancer for several years, and eventually it took her life, and they were left in a home without a mother. Years began to go by. The dad remarried. The children went to college. And one day, this oldest son calls up my mother-in-law, and he said to her, "I have something I need to tell you." And he said to her, "I'm going to be living in a same-sex relationship." And of course, you know, this came out to the family. And he was connected with a guy, and then that kind of separated, and we kind of hoped, well, maybe things could change, and a number of people reached out to him, but anyhow, just last summer, I'm not sure what it was, you call it marriage, him and another guy entered into a relationship. Over this time, a number of Suzette's family, her and her siblings, have reached out to him. And Suzette reached out to him one time through an email or through a message of some type and acknowledged that life has pain and it hurts and that sometimes, and I don't know if Suzette said this, but you know, sometimes it almost feels that maybe God's not good. I'm just glad our nephew was honest, or could at least recognize his struggle. But he responded back to Suzette. He said, "How can I trust a God who allowed my mom to die?" He said, "I prayed, and I prayed for her, and he didn't heal her." And then he said, "And how can I trust a God who I prayed, and I prayed about my sexual struggle, that God would change that, and he didn't." And thus, out of those two painful experiences in his heart, he made the choice, in essence, that God's not good. Why should I follow a God who did this? I wonder, what are the things in your life that you wrestle with? Is God really good? Or are there things, I shouldn't say, what are the things? Are there things at times? You know, since Jesus is God, we know that's true, right? We established that Wednesday night. Since Jesus is God, he's good. So it does not matter what the events or the circumstances or the things that happen, it does not change the character of God. But in our humanness, the pain that comes into our lives does not feel good. And it's not good, but it doesn't change the character of God. Here's a question that Dan Allender posed in one of his books. And I think it's a good question that all of us should think about. As we look at our hearts, remember we said, our beliefs start in our hearts that creates our values, and our actions flow out of that. For my nephew, his belief right now is that God's not good, and his values are flowing out of that, and sinful actions are coming out of that. I'm not condoning his lifestyle, but I am stating that there's pain in his heart that's very unresolved. But do you and I believe that God is a loving God who is committed to my deepest well-being? And let me just stop there. Yes or no? Where are you at? Tonight, if you ask that from a heart question, do you believe that God is a loving Father who's committed to your deepest well-being and that he has the right to use everything that is me or you for whatever purposes he deems best, and that surrendering my will and my life entirely to him will bring me the deepest joy and fulfillment I can know this side of heaven. Yes or no? I believe we're here tonight, and we honestly can say, yes, I want to say yes. But tonight, you know, our hearts can struggle. And we wrestle. And so what are the things at times that we wrestle with? And so they can be various things. Maybe you've had a close friend. Again, maybe my examples are more for the age level that I normally teach. And this is some material I use. But when I feel rejected in a friendship, or I carry a nagging pain in my heart that's due to a loss of death or sickness or disappointment. You know, I tell people, there's lots of things in life that we need to grieve. We think we need to, or we often associate grieving with death. You know, I work with different people. I hear their stories. You know, the loss of a father in your life, if he was not the man that he should have been, may just require you to grieve. To heal, you may need to grieve. Because when we are faced with situations that cause us to question the goodness of God, we need to process them. Because the other result is to grow bitter or to grow angry or to reject God in some way. But is God really good when these things happen? Is God really good when life doesn't seem to make sense? Is God asking something of you that doesn't seem to make sense? Maybe you prayed and prayed about a situation, but God just seems like he doesn't hear. When he asks me to surrender my future to him, what about this man? Is God really good when he asks me to sell all that I have and give to the poor and then come and follow him? Would a good God really ask that? But if this man had just wrestled and reckoned with the one truth, that Jesus was good, it brings you to the conclusion, I therefore can trust him. If you deem him not good, then you're not going to be able to trust him. Even if it doesn't make sense, even when you don't understand, even when it's hard, and I feel like this is, when I'm saying this, it's coming across almost insensitive, but I understand in my story, hearing other people's stories, life can be hard. But there's a fact and a truth we need to hold on to, and that God's still good. It's not wrong if you struggle with the hard. It's not wrong if you struggle with the implications of the hard. It's not wrong. But you cannot constantly live on a plane and conclude that God's not good. I mean, I've heard lots of stories. I think of a young man that told me his story, and it just, after I'd heard his story, I concluded, I think it's maybe the worst I ever heard. Just abuse and trauma. Even though we live in a pain, sin-cursed world, since Jesus is God, he's good. He's good. Not just trust him, but to actually not just say I surrender to him, but to actually carry it out. You know, do you really believe that God is good? That you can bring him your life, lay your life before God as a blank piece of paper. You could say, but he could write anything on that. And he could. But the one fact, the one truth that he is good allows us to trust him, allows us to claim the grace of God. Last summer, in my own personal journey, we were scheduled to leave for Thailand in July. And at the end of June, I realized the one week that something weird was happening to my body, and I didn't know what it was, and just couldn't walk right. And one night, guy knows that Tuesday, and then Wednesday I had a IGO PR program, and after it was done I thought, boy, my hand feels really weird. And by Thursday something seemed really wrong. We were scheduled to leave to go away on Friday as a family, which we were really looking forward to, and maybe family gatherings or getting together. We go away as a family for a week in the summer, and it kind of started over the time we were in Thailand. And so when we came back, we used the week to be together as a family. And so we were really looking forward to doing this. And I was having the struggle, and I said to Suzette, well, you better, you know, warn the children what's going on, because something seems like it's not right. And I wanted to see my personal doctor, and he wasn't in at the time. And because, anyhow, we both, Suzette and I both came to a really settled peace that we were supposed to go. We were supposed to go. We were going to Angola by the Bay in Delaware as a family for the week. And family time is just precious to us. And so we just felt we were to go. Well, I said to Suzette Thursday night, I said, you better warn the children that something's not right. And so we went Friday, and they took one look at me and questioned whether I think should have been there. And so Saturday they went to the beach. I stayed back at the house. But, you know, the rest of the children came, or some of the other ones came. And I was having problems walking. Finally, I realized, you know, this is basically my right side that I'm having problems with. And anyhow, Monday morning, I decided, you know what? I am fit. I am going out to the beach. I can, you know, I can do this. And so we were sitting around breakfast discussing what we were going to do that day. And I said, well, I want to go to the beach. And my one son said, well, this is quite the decision, to go to the ER or to go to the beach. And anyhow, we didn't go. And but by Monday night, Suzette and I both concluded, Tuesday morning, something needed to be done. Went to the ER, went home, went to Reading, went to the ER, and make long story short, I had a slight stroke. I thought it was probably fairly major with the implications of it, but compared to what some people have, it obviously wasn't. Anyhow, that delayed, we were delayed our trip back to Thailand by a month. What I want to tell in that story is, God good? And as I wrestled through that first week before we were to leave to go to Angola by the Bay, by Thursday, when I realized something really was wrong, I was just processing a lot in my heart. And I can't really explain it, other than I just sensed, by Friday, you're going to be healed. Now, I wasn't healed physically, but my heart was healed. And Suzette and I probably had a peace that weekend like I hadn't had for a long time. My daughter-in-law said, I always heard of the peace that passeth understanding, and now I believe I know what it is. Because she's like, why are you even here? But I'm just saying, that the root of the question that we need to wrestle with is God good? And when I could come to the place and say, God, you're good, I came to the place that I knew and was at peace that I can trust him. You see, our real struggle is not necessarily in the act of yielding an area of our life over to God. For me, when it last summer was not in the area of yielding an area over to God, but rather it's rooted in my struggle to really believe that God is good. My wife and her story, she lost her father when she was 13. I mentioned she lost her sister then. And not, I don't know how else that would say that she wrestled with the goodness of God, but she knew it in her head, but struggled with it in her heart. And Suzanne, I think she would say, was, I knew he was good, but what I wrestled with, was he really good to me? He was good to other people, but was he really good to our family? That he would take my dad and then my sister. And she has wrestled with that and come out of a good place. But it still is a process. But you and I need to wrestle with, is God really good? And can I trust him? But even more so, will I trust him? See, tonight, the issue is not whether you're wrestling with God is good, but it's rather if you have concluded that he's not good, or you're just kind of, I'm just going to live in this plane, and I'm not really going to trust him. You can't go on like that forever. You're either going to go hard and bitter and not allow him to lead you further, or else you're going to come to a place of surrender and say, God, even though I don't understand it, I claim by faith that you're good. Can I trust a God who I possibly inwardly deemed not trustworthy? And that's where my nephew's at. A God that's not trustworthy due to various painful and confusing circumstances in my life. Can I trust a God who I'm holding responsible for my inner pain and turmoil? See, you can't trust God if you're holding him responsible. When there's pain in here and you're saying, God, it's your fault. You're not going to turn around and yield your life over to him. Say, I can trust you, when you're really blaming God for what has come into your experience. I can't explain all the hurt and the pain and the war and the turmoil and the stories I showed of the children, you know, the pain that goes on in the country of Myanmar, and I look at those pictures and how they need to flee their homes and run into the jungle, and then they might go back to their homes, and they may be there, they may not be there, they may have been burned by the enemy. And you know, we look at all that, and we live in a world that, or we live in a setting that's pretty comfortable, and we like life pretty good, and we, you know, a little bit of trial causes us anguish. But that's not the way it is for everyone in this world. And when some people really sit and ponder how tragic things can happen, if they're not ready to claim the truth of Jesus Christ, they will conclude that God's not good. But tonight, our principle is, since Jesus is God, he's good, and you can trust him. The surrender is to acknowledge that God is good, even if I don't understand it, or even if I don't feel it. Since Jesus is God, he is good, and therefore, I can trust him. Tonight, if there is something on your heart that you are wrestling through, you're in conflict to really believe that God is good, we're going to sing an invitation song. And why don't you just stand where you're at, and I'll acknowledge you, and then you can be seated, and then someone from your congregation will share with you afterwards. This is what church is. This is what brotherhood is to come to the throne of grace together. And maybe you're here also and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you're here and you have never made that choice. Maybe you're still like the rich young ruler, walking away, not because Jesus has said the thing that's touching your heart is your riches. But maybe it's your pride, maybe it's self, just whatever it may be. Maybe it's the fear of just standing up and saying, I need you. I need you. And the group sang tonight, In Need. Tonight, if that's you, you would like to meet with someone, have them pray with you, and I invite you to simply stand as we sing. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, and then we will sing an invitational song. Father, we ask you right now as we search our hearts and bring our hearts before you, Lord, just to be able to acknowledge tonight the goodness of God. We acknowledge life is hard, and we acknowledge sometimes we just stay in a rut of anger and bitterness, maybe when the pain is ongoing. Lord, I pray tonight for healing in this group and for a touch from a good God, from Jesus who is good. So may you be with us as we sing. We ask this all in your name. Amen.